Today is Sunday, June 5th, 2016, and this...
Back in February, Hillary Clinton won the Nevada caucus, the closest thing Nevada has to a popular vote, except when the AVN awards come to town. By the way, also rigged, they never count the absentee ballots, or so I'm told.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 555.
Las Vegas, you know! Just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
You're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you think that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm fantastic. We have a ton of Vegas stuff to talk about today.
Oh, that's good.
Hopefully that will prevent us from talking about things like my genitalia.
Yes, I think everyone's heard enough about that.
All right. So before we jump into this week's news, I want to follow up on something we discussed last week when I suggested that it would be great if there was some sort of an app where people could figure out how early to leave for the airport or to get to the airport. And there kind of is. TSA, a couple people mentioned to us that TSA has current wait times listed on their website as well as via their app. So it's not quite what I was thinking. It would be nice if they had some sort of predictive thing where, like, based on Tuesdays at 10 a.m., typically the wait is this. This is actual wait times at that moment. Hmm. Now, when you check that from home, by the time you get to the airport, it might be...
Completely different.
So that's why it's not exactly what I was thinking, but it's... as close as we're going to get today. So just thought I'd mention that. If you really want to see how long wait times are before you head to the airport, you can certainly check the TSA website or their app. All right, tons of big news. So let's jump right in.
Okay.
Monte Carlo has finally, well, MGM Resorts, the owner of Monte Carlo, has finally announced the long-awaited plans for that hotel and its upcoming makeover and rebranding. It's very exciting.
No, it's not.
I don't know how to feel about this. So there are... going to be two different, what they're calling hotel districts. There's going to be two hotels, which they have now. There's Monte Carlo and Hotel 32, but this is going to be a little bit different because the two hotels are going to be a little bit more, well, right now Hotel 32 is just the top floor of Monte Carlo, and that's like the separate kind of luxury hotel.
Mm-hmm.
The second hotel at this property is going to be 292 rooms, plus it's going to have its own restaurant. So somehow they're going to separate things a little bit more, and maybe they'll have a little bit more different look. I'm not exactly sure how that's going to work.
Well, they have separate check-ins as
yes.
well.
Yes. Yep. Separate check-ins, separate pools.
Hmm.
So they're going to be doing some work. So here are the details. The main hotel, currently known as Monte Carlo, will be called, I should have had a drum roll, Park MGM.
Whatever.
Okay. We'll talk more about the name in a minute. Park MGM is targeting, according to MGM Resorts, a younger, well-traveled demographic. Okay, I'm not exactly sure what that means.
Millennials.
I don't know. Are millennials well-traveled?
I don't know.
And it will appeal to this
group. Can we go a whole show without mentioning millennials?
No, that's what everybody wants. That's what all the Vegas resorts are all boning up for. I don't even know what that means. That's who they're aiming for.
I think
for.
You know what boning up means.
Okay, well... they're saying that this hotel will appeal to this growing audience's desire to be more social, connected, and culturally aware. That does sound like, you know, what the other hotels have been saying as they try to attract the younger demographic. The second hotel, okay, so that's 2,700 rooms. That's the main hotel. The second hotel is going to be called the Nomad.
I disagree with the spelling of this, just off the bat.
Because there's a capital M in the middle of it?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know what that's all about. 292 rooms. It's based on the Nomad in New York City. Like I said, Hotel 32 is only 50 rooms, so this is larger than the current hotel within a hotel, and it's going to have its own restaurants. They have not announced all the restaurants. They have announced one, which we will discuss shortly. The total makeover is going to be $450 million. Now, I was trying to figure out what that means in terms of what level of makeover this is.
Is that coming from parking fees?
Presumably, yes. They are Okay, so other hotels that have undergone substantial revamps in recent years. The cost of SLS was reportedly $415 million, and that was major. They ripped that thing apart. Delano, which used to be the hotel, that was just $80 million. And the Link was... Now, the Link, they're saying, was $223 million, but that was kind of two phases. I think it might have been more than that, because that doesn't include all the shops and stuff outside.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't include... I'm not sure, because there was the Quad, and then the Link came like a year or two later, which included the hotel part of it. So that 223, I'm not exactly sure what that included in terms of the casino and hotel and all that stuff. So this is actually pretty close to SLS as far as what they're going to spend. And SLS was a major project. So I don't know. They've made a few comments that make me believe they're not going to give it a substantially new look on the outside,
mm-hmm.
because they're referring to its European roots and stuff, which kind of would lead me to believe they're going to just slap a new sign on the outside with the new name.
Mm-hmm. And then make over the rooms.
The rooms in the casino and that kind of thing. But for $450 million, it seems like they would be doing something a little bit more substantial than that. Like completely gutting the rooms and not just carpeting and...
redesigning them.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'll be curious to see what the overall thing is. And they haven't really said, are they shutting parts of it down? Are they shutting the whole thing down while they work on this? I would guess not, but perhaps... I don't know. Time will tell. Let's talk. So they're calling this a luxury hotel,
mm-hmm.
which means farewell to the tremendous value that was Monte Carlo.
Right. Although their rooms are in need of updating.
Absolutely. No question.
But yeah, the way that they're going about updating them means they're going to be able to charge more for them.
I was hoping they would do it in such a way, kind of similar to the Link, in that they've done a massive... makeover on that, but the room rates are still pretty reasonable, and they're definitely not calling it a luxury
mm-hmm.
property. They're still going after the middle market and lower tier.
But will there be bunk beds?
That remains to be seen.
Okay.
That would certainly fit within the luxury. When I think luxury, I think bunk beds.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. All right. So the name, Park MGM. You know, okay, we've discussed a lot of names over the years on this show, and inevitably none of it matters.
Right.
If it's a great property and people have a good time, the name doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Yep.
But Park MGM is a horrible name. I think most people would agree on that. I haven't mm-hmm. seen a lot of people saying that is a really good name. If it was just The Park, you know, that has a flow to it. It sounds pretty good. If it was, I don't know, Park MGM just seems like we've got two ideas. We want to cram them together. We want the MGM brand.
Yep.
We want the Park brand, but it doesn't...
We want to slap them together.
It doesn't seem like... it doesn't flow real well. My thought was if they really wanted to use these two things, that they could call it MGM Parkside. And it has a little bit more... It just sounds a little bit more like...
It sounds more luxury.
Yeah, that too. And I know that I've seen some people have said this is going to cause all kinds of confusion because there's already an MGM Grand and all that. Yeah, not really. I mean...
Well, we've got a Downtown Grand and an MGM Grand.
Yeah, the MGM thing.
I mean, even though they're not owned by the same.
There are at least four Hilton Chicagos,
mm-hmm.
and that doesn't even include like the Hilton Garden, whatever. They have
Inn
a separate, brand. People find their way to the right hotel, so I wouldn't necessarily worry too much about that causing great confusion. The cab drivers and Uber drivers are going to learn to say
MGM. It'll probably be less confusing than Harrah's in Paris.
Right, which just sound alike, yeah. But yeah, I don't think that that's going to be... And any, regardless, everybody's going to end up calling this The Park,
mm-hmm.
I've got to think. Because everybody likes to put the before every hotel name, and Park is the one you're not going to... I don't think people are going to... I'm going to Park MGM. I don't know. It's just a bad name. And the other thing, too, is they're doubling down on The Park, which is their version of the Link Promenade, the mm-hmm. Their restaurant walkway leading to T-Mobile Arena, which hasn't really impressed a lot of people. I mean, the general consensus has been either, it's not that impressive, or it's better than it was, but it's,
yeah.
I haven't heard anybody really excited about
it. Nobody's overwhelmed by it.
Yeah. So, I don't know. The fact they're doubling down on that is an odd decision as well. I don't know. Maybe over time it will become more of a thing, but I don't see it. The plan is for renovations to begin late this year. They still have a lot of planning to do, and then it's going to be completed in 2018. So that's the timeline. Again, no word on whether or not they'll be closing down things. I would say if there are things you love in Monte Carlo, go to them now, because I suspect there won't be a ton of restaurants and bars and things that survive this. I think they're going to do...
Hit Bar.
Yeah, I suspect they'll do a pretty substantial revamp of everything. Yeah. They want.
Oh, and I like the pub there, too.
I don't think that'll survive.
Yeah.
I think it'll end up being something else.
That's a big space, too.
The one thing that seems to have resonated with people is the inclusion of an Eataly, which has been rumored for Las Vegas for a while, and that is an Italian marketplace that has locations. There are a few of them, but New York and Chicago, I think, are the only U.S. locations. It's the U.S. locations, I believe, are owned at least in part by Mario Batali. And it's, I have not been to either of the, I have not been to an Eataly.
I have not either.
And I looked online, it looks like it's just like a store, mm-hmm. but it's not. It's like a series of restaurants and food stalls, and it is like the European marketplace idea. How that will work in a Las Vegas hotel, I'm not exactly sure. But retail is a big part of it as well. So, I don't know. People who've been to the New York and Chicago locations seem to love this and be real happy about it.
I went to an Italian marketplace in New York, but I don't think it was Eataly. I think it was something else. Because it didn't have a restaurant component to it.
Okay.
I killed that brain cell.
The New York trip brain cell?
The one that remembered what the name was of the place we visited.
Ah, okay. Well, I don't know. I have mixed feelings about this because Monte Carlo is in dire need of some updates and renovation, and I've never been that impressed with the casino itself.
We never spend time in the casino.
So
it's just there.
Like I said, my biggest wish was that they would do it in such a way that they wouldn't be a luxury hotel, because I think there's much more of a market for the middle tier.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there ends up being a shuffling once this kind of thing happens. So let's say they move this up in their property hierarchy with Bellagio and Aria being at the top.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose it will just knock down the Mirage and Monte Carlo and, I don't know, Luxor.
No, not Monte Carlo. This is I mean
Mirage. Mirage, yeah. And Mandalay Bay.
Yeah.
Luxor and Excalibur are already very low, and Circus Circus is as low as it gets. So, I don't know. As far as room rates and stuff, there will still be plenty in the MGM resorts offerings that are middle tier and lower. But, I don't know. It would be nice if there was something a little bit newer that catered to the middle tier traveler, like many of us are. I'm curious to see how it turns out. It's hard to say until it actually happens whether or not it's going to be a great thing or not, but I'm underwhelmed by some of the announcements they've made at this point.
Yeah.
But another thing to watch, which is always fun, another big project, so we'll see what happens. Speaking of MGM Resorts, they had another rebranding announcement. It actually came, I think, about a week ago, and they were emailing customers to let them know about this, and we didn't talk about it on last week's show because I thought it was kind of funny, but people on the Facebook group were wishing that we had commented on it. So MGM has rebranded M Life, its Players Club. It's no longer called M Life.
What is it called?
It's now called M Life Rewards.
What?
And they sent out an announcement about this, like anyone would have noticed. They wanted to reassure their customers that, yes, we changed the name, but don't worry, everything else is the same. It's like, well, guess what? Your name is pretty much the same, too.
Is there a new logo?
I think they might have just tacked the word rewards underneath it. I haven't paid that much attention to it.
That is so dumb.
Like, okay, good. Congratulations on spending money on a rebrand that is...
Not really a rebrand.
Not really going to do anything. So don't worry if you're a big M Life fan. It's still the same.
You can still call it MILF Life if you want.
M Life Rewards now. Okay, so back to Monte Carlo. Well, the soon-to-be former Monte Carlo. That's awkward. There's a theater that's being built there. It's been under construction for a while now. 5,000-seater called, it was going to be called the Park Theater at Monte Carlo. Now I'm guessing it will just be called the Park MGM Theater, which really has a ring to it as well. We're wondering, as many Vegas watchers are, Vegas nerds, what the entertainment offerings will be there, and there are some rumors about that this week.
Rumor watch. It could be true, but it's probably bullshit.
Okay, Johnny Katz at the Las Vegas Sun is reporting on a couple possible resident performers at that new theater. He mentions that there have been discussions and rumors surrounding two performers, separate shows, not together. The first being Justin Timberlake. Thoughts?
I think it'll sell well.
I think it would sell extremely well. He's a very... you like how I try to one-up you by just saying extremely?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I disagree. It's not going to sell well. It's going to sell extremely well.
Yes. He's got a very catchy tune out this summer.
I have not yet heard it. He's very popular and would certainly sell a ton of tickets, and that would be a huge get for Las Vegas. I have no desire to see it because I'm not a fan.
Because every time you watch him on Saturday Night Live, you want to punch him in the face?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I just don't. For the same reason, yeah, I won't go into it. Yes, I just don't. He's been, you can tell, I've said this before, he's one of those people who's been told his whole life how hilarious he is, and therefore he tries to be hilarious.
He mugs a lot.
He mugs for on SNL, that doesn't work.
I like his music, though.
Do something funny. Yeah, I don't, but he...
Some of his music. I don't like all of his music. There are select songs that I really enjoy.
It doesn't matter. He's not going to be doing comedy as part of it. Well, he probably will try, but... Yeah. Anyway. The other one, and this one I would be interested in because I'm a fan of this young lady, Lady Gaga.
Yes.
That would be a really fun show. She's well, I almost said well built. That doesn't sound right. Her style of performance, it seems like it would be well suited to Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
She can put on a spectacle.
She can do a stripped down show.
I would love that.
Oh my God, yes.
She's amazingly talented. The times we've seen her, the part that I've enjoyed the most is when it's just her at the piano.
Yep.
And I would love to see her do something like that, even if it's just for, you know, a portion of her show like she's done on tour, maybe a little bit longer portion of the show. But I hope this happens. I'd definitely pay some money to see Gaga in Vegas.
Yeah.
So we'll see if this happens. Right now, of course, it is just at the rumor stage. No word on whether or not they're, you know, super deep into discussions or if there are actual contracts signed or anything like that. It's just rumblings in Las Vegas, which half the time ends up being nothing. Oh, yeah, I usually assign these things a percentage, don't I?
Yeah, you do. You want to assign each of them a percentage?
Yeah, Timberlake, we're going to see. The thing that would surprise me about these is they're like at the peak of their touring, you know, kind of careers in terms of being able to make money. And
Yeah, because Timberlake could go out and do a national tour and make a lot of bank.
Although doing it in Vegas, you can probably make more.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, because then you don't have to do the setup and the travel. And
yeah. All right, we're going to give Timberlake a 45%. I'm going to go with 45% for both of them.
But this doesn't mean his touring days are over. Look at Beyonce and her residency at Wynn.
She didn't do a residency at Wynn. She did a weekend at Wynn.
She did a weekend? I thought it was more of a...
They promoted it like it was more than that. She did nothing. No.
All right. Thank you for setting me straight on the residency part.
That does not count.
Okay. I thought she had a longer
stay
there.
Maybe two weekends. They promoted the hell out of it like it was long, and it wasn't.
But she's gone on to do some successful national touring. So this does not stop him from moving about the country.
Moving about freely. All right, so we'll see. I'd like to see it happen, but I don't know. Okay, moving on. Riviera. It has been closed for some time, and people have been wondering, when is the implosion going to happen? Because everybody loves to watch an old Las Vegas hotel fall.
Mm-hmm.
And then they pretend that they liked it when it was there. And sometimes they did, and sometimes they didn't. Anyway, Riviera, I'm not going to even say that, because then I'll get the series of comments from people who loved Riviera, even though they haven't visited it in 10 years. Riviera's Monaco Tower is going to come down. There are a couple towers there. They're going to take them down one at a time. 2 a.m. on June 14th, the Monaco Tower will be imploded. So if you're in Las Vegas for that weekend, you might get a chance to see an implosion.
Does that have
I don't even know if that's an... What is the 14th? What day of the week is that?
I don't even know.
Probably midweek. They like to do it when there's not a lot of people around.
Yeah.
So, if you can find a place to watch it from... That'll be a good time. No word on when the rest of the property is going to come down. I'm guessing they're still working on asbestos removal, which is time-consuming for an old property like this. The plans for the Riviera site are for a Las Vegas Convention Center expansion, although there have been other proposals put forward, namely the that's been put forth as one of the locations for the NFL stadium, which would be a horrible idea, but mm-hmm. that's Sheldon Adelson trying to prevent the convention center from expanding is what that is. Mm-hmm. So time will tell. I still think it'll end up being the convention center expansion, but has not been 100% finalized yet. They have to get funding first. Down the road from Riviera is Fontainebleau.
Womp womp.
The long dormant Fontainebleau. It's been standing there semi-built for several years.
Could we call it the Debbie Downer of hotels?
It really is. It is just a big sadness tower. Well, the real estate broker trying to sell that property on behalf of its owner said this week that he expects a deal to close by the end of summer, which is good news. It's getting a ton of publicity. Everybody's all excited about it, except for the fact that in January, he made almost the same comment.
Mm-hmm.
In January, he said that it would be sold within 60 days. And that certainly did not happen.
No.
So maybe, I don't know. He claims that the buyer, the undisclosed buyer, is going to pay close to the asking price of $650 million. We'll see. If it does sell, I don't see it selling for that amount, but time will tell. And that the would-be buyer plans to finish the long-dormant property for another $1.2 billion. It also remains to be seen whether or not that could happen for $1.2 billion. I have seen reports that it would cost closer to $2 billion. Again, we shall see. I would expect another announcement around the time of VIMF in October that it will be selling by the end of 2016. That is my prediction on this one. And now, having said that, within 3 days, there will be an announcement that it has been purchased.
That would be great, though.
I would love that. I'm completely skeptical about this thing being bought and finished.
But we would love it to happen.
Great. If it does, I'm happy to be wrong.
Such an eyesore.
I know. But if they can get it done, that would be great. So we shall see. There hasn't really been much hint as far as who would be interested in purchasing that, other than all the people or all the entities that own Las Vegas Strip resorts now have pretty much already passed on it. So I don't know who that would be. I would imagine if this is true, it would be much like other recent transactions. It'll be some investment firm that's not necessarily known for casinos in Las Vegas. That's more likely than anything, if it happens at all. All right, let's talk about Caesar's Palace. Caesar's Palace is celebrating 50 years this year. Congratulations, Caesar's Palace. We're proud of you for making it 60 years. 50 years. I'm good. They're doing a lot of things this summer promoting the anniversary, and most of them are like room deals and stuff like that. Nothing really that noteworthy worth discussing, but there are a couple things that jumped out at me that I thought were kind of cool that don't necessarily cost any money that are nice for people, so I thought I'd mention them here. Beginning on June 17th and throughout the summer, you can take a self-guided historical walking tour and photo exhibit.
Do you take self-guided tours often?
Do I?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, when was the last time I took a self-guided tour? Do you have something in mind?
No.
I think you do, but you're trying to... I don't like where this is going at all.
In your pants?
Oh, really?
Carry on.
Sometimes you make it hard for me to carry on. All right. A self-guided tour, photo exhibits, historical stuff. That's always cool. You're such a dork. If you're interested, it's free. It's open to the public. They will have, I'm guessing, some sort of a tour map or something that you can follow along.
Are you going to talk about the 5 lucky spots?
No, I'm not. Grow up. Next up, they're going to have a refinished, refurbished Roman chariot from the archives that you can have your picture taken with, which that's kind of fun, too. People like that shit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Will there be a shirtless Roman gladiator? Along with
there
the
might
chariot?
Be. They have that sometimes. Sweet. In Caesars.
Speaking of shirtless, have you noticed, Lord, how I'm following the Magic Mike live thing on Facebook and just liking,
yes,
the pictures so they show up in your feed?
I've noticed that every day I scan my I scanned my Facebook stuff, and there's a whole bunch of shirtless men in my feed thanks to you liking them. I really appreciate that. I don't want to have to hide you on Facebook. That would be horrible. I like to follow your antics most of the time, because a lot of times it's like, oh, look, cute puppies. And now it's like, oh,
look, otters.
Shirtless men. I don't need to see that. So thanks for doing that. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Finally, as part of the Caesar celebration, if you're celebrating your 50th birthday in 2016, you can get a $50 food and beverage credit when you stay at Caesars during their promotion. So, yeah, that's not a bad thing if you're staying there. Like I said, they have other stuff too, but I thought those were the noteworthy ones that people are most likely to take advantage of. If you're really interested, I'm sure you can search for Caesars 50th birthday promotions and find all kinds of other stuff too. A promotion that really interested me that's coming up, that is happening now all summer long, is at SLS. It interests me, but not enough where I'm actually going to stay there. But I thought, this is kind of a cool idea.
Mm-hmm.
Through September 5th, if you stay at the SLS Story Tower for at least 2 nights.
Oh, is the story the tiny one?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I think so. You can empty out the mini bar once during your trip at no additional charge. So everything that's in the mini bar is yours as part of your stay. A $200 alleged value.
Question.
Yes.
Are they going to be diligent about refilling the minibar before people stay there?
Yeah, they listed some of the things that are included. So it will be stocked full.
Okay.
And everyone will have presumably about the same thing in their room. Includes a bottle of vodka. And these aren't just the little, you know, airplane bottles. Mm-hmm. This is a 375 milliliter bottle of vodka. 250 milliliter bottle of Fireball. 4 Red Bulls, 4 Bud Lights, 4 Pepsis, an assortment of other beverages. So there will be some, love the airplane bottles as well, and a selection of snacks.
Oh, I like snacks.
Mm-hmm. As part of the deal, you also get buy one free drinks at Foxtail during certain hours, both the pool and the nightclub. You get VIP access to the pools and clubs at SLS, and you get complimentary soft drinks at the restaurants. So it's a bunch of stuff. Now, what does the room cost? It's not a low enough room rate where you would book it just to clean out the mini bar and leave.
Okay.
Because that thought crossed my mind too.
Like, oh, I know it did.
Hey, if I can get a $50 room, but no, that's not the case. If you look at their rate calendar, the lowest I found midweek was about $109. And then when you tack on all the taxes and the $30 resort fee, it's $186.
Whoa.
So.
Oh.
If you're staying at SLS anyway, you know, it's kind of a cool promotion, but,
but
I don't know that it's enough to draw me in.
Yeah.
The people they're going for are obviously the pool and nightclub crowd based on a lot of the things they're offering as part of the package, but it's kind of a, I think they're promoting it as like bottle service in your room, which, yeah, okay. I like the idea of it. If it was somewhere I was going to stay anyway, I would certainly take advantage of this. If you're interested, you can go to SLS, look at their promotions page, you'll find it. All right, Goose Island Brewing is going to be opening a bar at the Hard Rock. There's currently a bar there that we've never mentioned. Well, we mentioned it, I think, when it first opened 4 years ago, but it hasn't really gotten much attention since. It's called the Ainsworth, and it has or is soon closing to become Goose Island Pub. And that's an Anheuser-Busch. That's owned by Anheuser-Busch now. It was an independent,
used to be independent
for a while, but they have some good beers. I do like Goose Island.
Mm-hmm.
The new
312?
Bar.
312?
Huh? 312? Yep. The new pub is going to have 8 Goose Island beers on tap. They will also have food and other booze available as well. What I'm curious about here is whether or not this, along with the beer park at Paris, which is like beer park by Budweiser, has a big Budweiser sign on it. Mm-hmm. If this is now, we've got a couple of these. Are we going to see a bunch of branded bars popping up in Las Vegas, branded after alcohol brands?
I don't know.
Are we going to see, you know, I was thinking of our baseball stadium here where they have, actually they do have a Goose Island, they have a Goose Island pub there.
Yep.
But they used to have the captain's deck where there was like a Captain Morgan statue.
They've got the Budweiser deck.
Yeah. So I wonder if we're going to be seeing more of these in casinos now where there would be a benefit to the hotels to outsource their bars to known breweries and known alcohol manufacturers. Time will tell. We've got a couple of them now, so I suspect we might be seeing more of these. It's kind of like, you know, sponsorships. Once something is sponsored, like arena names and stadium names, once it starts to happen everywhere. I suspect maybe bars is a new trend with that, so we'll keep an eye on that.
Would you be encouraged to drink at these bars or avoid them? Or
I mean, if I was a big fan of Goose Island, I would certainly go here. But I don't know. I don't know that I would necessarily shy away from it because of that.
But you wouldn't necessarily gravitate to it because of that
something
either.
I really liked.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think if there's a brewery
Yingling?
That...
I mean, I know they don't sell west of
well, that would
like,
be a
Ohio,
huge,
but...
That would be a huge thing just because they don't. If suddenly that was the only place that you could get it in that part of the world, it would be like the White Castle of... of beers. You know, that would be certainly novel enough to be a big deal. And I would search it out. But okay, so let's take something that we kind of like. Let's take if there was a Fireball bar, might visit it once, but I don't see
they have Fireball at every bar though.
Well, that's just it. And you can get a lot of the not necessarily a lot, you can get some of the Goose Island stuff pretty much anywhere. You can certainly get Budweiser products anywhere. So I think I'd be more likely to go if it was something that wasn't easily found elsewhere.
The Cranburrita bar?
No, I don't think that's going to happen. We've kind of eased up on our consumption of the burritas.
We have.
For Cranton. And I've got a, I still have a case of the, case, whatever it is, a 12-pack of the lemonade Ritas
from
last
summer.
We never cracked into. They're still delicious, though.
They're good.
All right. Couple more stories. Fremont Street Experience has announced they're going to be adding daytime bands on Saturdays and Sundays throughout the summer. So in addition to the nighttime entertainment they have on their stages, they will now have some acts, DJs, bands, the usual kind of stuff, beginning at 2 p.m. on Saturdays and Sundays. I suspect this is an attempt to, first of all, liven up Fremont Street during the day. It is a little... It's a little boring outside
during the day.
There's not a lot going on. So maybe to get more people to hang out at the outside bars, hang out on the actual street during the day. But then also, I'm guessing this is probably part of their strategy to reduce the number of street performers. As you may recall, the performance circles kick in. Isn't that around, is that at like 1 p.m.?
I do not know.
Well, when the stages are active, that shuts down some of the performance circles. So this may be a way to reduce the number of people who are performing. And I put performing in quotes because half the time they're just standing there in dumb costumes. They're doing a lot of things to try to cut down on those people. And I suspect, even though they wouldn't market it as such, this might be part of that. So,
because there are performance circles that are right in front of the stages, right?
Yeah, yeah, there are. But like I said, they shut those down when the stages are active.
Yep.
Time will tell. Anyway, if you like the cover bands and DJs and stuff they have at night, you can see some of them during the day now. I believe the Fremont Street Experience website has a schedule of their performers. Not that it matters. The performers are, you know, they're good. They're good live acts, but, you know,
well,
a cover
more,
band is a cover band. You can.
It'll be more lively than, what is the acoustic station that they play during the day on Fremont when you're wandering around?
It is like the Acoustic Cafe on XM. It is, it's
coffee
like,
house or whatever.
It is
yeah.
coffee house. It's like, oh, I'm going to walk down Fremont Street and fall into a coma while listening to Norah Jones. Great. First thing in the morning. No thanks. So yeah, I like, you know, it'll be a little more lively down there. That's all right. Part of the fun. Finally, one more downtown story. There is a restaurant that is part of Fremont East.
Was.
Yes. 6 months, less than 6 months. I think it opened in December. It is the fondue joint called F. Pigalle. I think that's how it's pronounced.
Who cares?
Doesn't matter. Now it's closed. It used to be Radio City Pizza under multiple owners. This seems like one of those cursed locations for restaurants. Nothing really does super well there. Less than 6 months is a pretty quick, that's a pretty quick failure.
They had a stupid concept though.
Yeah. So they had it. We didn't talk about it much because I objected largely to
wine and baby bottles.
The fact they served wine and baby bottles. I think it's just the dumbest concept. And they
worse
had
than mason jars.
Much worse. They had some story about how it goes back to some glass tax in Paris in the 1800s.
No.
Yeah, it's all bullshit. But the social media accounts for this place. Oh, and then the food was fondue, which I don't know. Okay.
Fondue's okay. It's I don't fine. Know. Have we ever been to a melting pot?
No. No. I haven't had fondue since I was a kid.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's lovely. I don't know. Oh, and this place was decorated like a brothel or something too, like a red light district kind of place. But
the
I
had a really hard time getting past the wine and the baby
and
bottles.
The name. I like to be able to pronounce the place I'm going to, and clearly I can't pronounce this. People on some of our listeners in the Facebook group said they had really good cocktails. They had a good time there. So It will be missed by some, but apparently they didn't do enough business to keep it open. They are planning on reopening with a new concept, according to their social media accounts, which promptly flipped over. They have a picture of like a caterpillar emerging as a butterfly, and new what? Concept is coming soon.
Oh my God.
So we'll see what that new concept is, whether or not it's anything that can last for more than 6 months. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it'll be something interesting.
Yeah.
So that's the scoop in Las Vegas this week. Before we get to phone calls, let's do this.
Viator, Viator, it gives you more.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We are just a month away from the celebration of our nation's birth. Thank you to our troops and Labor Day.
And Labor Day.
4th of July is just a month away, and Viator, as always, has you covered for 4th of July experiences in many cities.
Happy 2016th birthday, America.
I look forward to those tweets. One of the great things about Viator is, in addition to their ongoing attractions and tours and adventures and cool things for your vacation, they often offer experiences that are specific to certain holidays and events, including 4th of July. Now, of course, one of the big places for 4th of July celebrations is New York City. Great city for a gigantic fireworks display. It always gets shown all over the place on television. If you're going to be there in person, they've got some cool things. They've got multiple New York City fireworks cruise options. Some of them include things like an open bar and a DJ. Some of them include, actually, there's a Viator exclusive that's a dinner cruise with a lobster dinner during the fireworks.
Ooh.
Cool. You can only get it through Viator. They have another package called the New York City 4th of July or July 4th Experience that includes a barbecue lunch, a tour of Manhattan, and a Statue of Liberty fireworks cruise. So you can get all of your New York touristy fun in one package. If you're not going to be in New York, they've got some other cities as well. Private fireworks cruise in Miami for up to 6 people. That's on like, so it's just you and your friends on a boat and you get sparkling wine and appetizers. That would be dope. A little bit closer to Las Vegas, although not quite in Las Vegas because, you know, there's not really any... Las Vegas isn't really known that much for the 4th of July, is it? It's more New Year's Eve.
They've got a nice fireworks show, don't they?
They've got some, but New Year's Eve
is the one that they really go out for. Yeah. Yeah.
But Lake Tahoe, they have a riverboat dinner cruise there. So they've got some cool stuff around the country on the 4th of July. And of course, if you're not going to be in any of these locations, but you're going to be somewhere on vacation 4th of July, they've got you covered. They've got all kinds of cool stuff on Viator to make your vacation awesome.
Question?
Yes?
They have self-guided tours.
I don't think they have specific 4th of July self-guided tours, but no, they wouldn't have self-guided. I don't know what they've got.
No, they'd probably have guided tours.
They generally have guided tours. Although some of the museums and things like that have self-guided tours included.
Mm-hmm.
Are we calling this one self-guided tour? Is that what we're going for?
If you want to.
All right.
I just wanted to mention it again.
Thanks. Thanks for doubling down on that joke.
You're welcome.
Viator.com is the place to go. You can download their iOS and Android apps. And if you really love us and want to book something through Viator, click on our banner at 500bymidnight.com or in the show notes before booking. And Viator gives us extra love for that. Thank you, as always, to Viator for putting up with my wife's nonsense and for loving us so much. All right, let's get to some phone calls, shall we?
Yo, 500. Hey, it's Ryan from Colorado. Oh, I haven't listened to you guys or talked a long time. I can't keep up all these darn podcasts. That's so many of them I got to listen to. Kind of got burnt out on Vegas, so I took a little time off. And then just getting ready to come back out here. And I'm like, hey, let me check out 500, see what they're doing. And you guys haven't missed a beat.
We are always here to meet your needs.
Awesome. It's kind of nice taking a little break every now and then and coming back and kind of being surprised with new stuff when you come out here instead of being like up on everything all the time. So that was good. But appreciate everything you guys do. Staying at the Hard Rock, got a tower room facing the pool, which isn't bad. I kind of thought it was a little better before than it actually is now. It's just they're outdated rooms. They need a little work, and the plumbing needs a little work too because the tub keeps on getting stuffed up, and I can't get the water down the drain. But anyways, it's free room, so I can't really complain. Hit Nobu the first night here. Nobu's always pretty darn good, but the service was a little slow. I was kind of surprised, and it really wasn't busy. And I know they're better than that because I've been to a bunch of different ones. And one of the pieces of fish I had, a tuna, it wasn't as good as I thought it could have been. And usually they're top-notch, so I judge my sushi restaurants on the salmon and tuna. But, anyways, I'll still give them another shot. See, next day I went to Milo's in Cosmo. Seafood restaurant. It's like one of the few places I actually open for lunch around here. So you got to plan everything for what you're going to do for lunch. You don't want to double up and do those ones for dinner. But man, Cosmo's nice. I love that place. Oh my gosh, there's just so much going on. The new sports book, great location. Just the whole vibe in that place is awesome. Good food at Milo's. I check it out again as there with a friend and meeting his new fiance, which they only know each other for 6 weeks and they're already engaged. And this is the second go at it. I'm like, what are you doing? Did you not learn the first time? But I will. Can't help people from themselves. Good food. The drinks were pretty decent there. Lunch menu, it's kind of like a preset thing. So you pick an appetizer, an entree, and a dessert. So there's not a huge selection, but the stuff looked pretty tasty. But I wouldn't mind just sitting up at the bar next time, kind of chat up with them. Dinner. Michael Mina at Bellagio. That is a nice place. It used to be called Aquos or something like that. It's over by all the that flower garden. Got in there a little bit later, so there wasn't much going on, but anytime I can get a Michael Mina type restaurant, it's usually fantastic. I get the sea bass. That was just, it's probably some of the best fish I've ever had, and bartender was recommending it too. Great food there. But speaking of that bartender, she was friggin' rocking it. Alicia, anytime I was asking about drinks she's making, she's like, oh, I'll save a little extra for you. And I probably got so much extra stuff there. Got to taste a bunch of things. And she was just, she's pretty darn entertaining. So I'll go back and check that out. Taking Uber everywhere. Fuck taxi cabs. Holy crap. It's so much simpler. You don't have to deal with half that crap. You're not sitting in a traffic light going, man, I just burned $5 just sitting here going nowhere. So everybody's just super friendly. Here's a couple that aren't as chatty, but I kind of look at it as a challenge to get them to talk or whatever. So I want to engage them in conversation. So, I was planning to do a bunch of different places for breakfast, but staying out a little late doesn't work out too good when you wake up at noon. You kind of miss that. But getting ready to go to a Thai restaurant. It's called Lotus of Siam. It's on, what is it, Sahara, east of SLS, local place, but supposedly rated top in Vegas. So I'm going to go check that out now. Hopefully I'll give you another report here back and whatever I do for dinner tonight, whatever kind of nonsense I can get into, shenanigans. So keep up the good work. Love you guys. And I'm out. And remember, all loaves matter.
I don't know what that means, but okay. Thank you for your call. And so he likes to get the Uber drivers talking. I have no desire to talk to the cab drivers or Uber drivers. Yeah. I much more appreciate the silence or talking to you. I'm not looking for a new friend when I get... It's odd, though, because
it depends.
It doesn't for me.
Yeah.
I'm not looking for a friend in the car. I like to chat with bartenders for some reason. Mm-hmm. But Uber drivers and cab drivers, it's fine. I guess once in a while you get into a discussion and it's nice, but...
You'd rather have them just turn up the Justin Bieber and be on your merry way.
That would be just fine. Yep. You like to engage them in chatter, I've noticed.
Occasionally. There have been a few that have been memorable and fun, just because you learn something new and...
Usually you learn misinformation.
Well, that too.
Which I guess is kind of amusing, but... All right. Well, thanks for the restaurant reports, Ryan. We'll hear more from him in a little bit. Appreciate you checking in.
If they have a good story.
Do they ever?
I don't know. I can't recall off the top of my head. So.
Okay.
I don't know.
Keep trying.
I've had some entertaining cab rides that I haven't minded conversing.
Yeah, but, it's all right, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go out of my way to have a chat with a cab driver or like Uber driver or whatever.
Great weather we're having, huh? Uh-huh.
All right. Next up, we actually have a review of the restaurant that Ryan mentioned in this next call from Ben.
Hi, Tim and Michelle. Just wanted to give a report on our 4-day Memorial and trip. We stayed at the Tropicana, and I know there's been a lot of talk about resort fees and other costs associated with staying at hotels these days. And one of the things I found is staying with a hotel that is a part of a kind of a national chain that has their own rewards programs. So the Tropicana, even though it was bought out and I think the gaming operations are run by a separate entity, the hotel itself is still a Hilton. So we're able to use our Hilton Honors points. And the room was entirely free, and all the resort charges were waived. So, and also the breakfast buffet every morning was fantastic, was also free. And that was about, you know, $25 a person.
Ooh, it's like staying at an embassy suites.
For that breakfast alone. So to start out on a holiday weekend, not as a non-high roller and have your entire room and breakfast taken care of was a fantastic way to start the weekend. As far as other dinners and lunches, we had lunch at Julio Serrano's at the Aria for tapas, and it was excellent. They have half-price sangria for lunch, so that's very much worthwhile if you're over in that area. We went to Giada's for dinner. The bartenders there at the bar are fantastic. I wasn't really digging any of the cocktails in their cocktail menu. So I just told the bartender what I liked. And I said, I'm going to make a cocktail out of with rosemary. She said, fantastic, went to work. And the creation that she put together was amazing. And she was even getting high fives from her coworkers. After they kind of tasted some of the leftovers. So it's just it's one of the underappreciated things about Vegas, how good some of the bartenders are.
Truth.
We also went out to the Lotus of Siam. Our friends had rented a car, so we drove out there. And it's definitely worth the trip if you like good Thai food. I know you don't want to stray too far from the designated kind of gambling areas, but not a bad place to go to if you want to kind of get off strip for a bit. And go to some decent Thai food. From a gambling perspective, the highlight of the weekend was my wife hitting not one, but two 200-to-1 horses at for, I can't think of the horse game now, for that
Sigma Derby.
Race. And just was fantastic. And made her extremely excited. One for one quarter, and the second one for two quarters. And that was definitely the highlight of the gambling weekend. Anyway, great trip to Vegas. Really enjoyed it. Looking forward to going back to it. Said overall, the Tropicana was great. Not the best gambling areas in the world, but you're right next to the MGM, so no complaints there. Actually, one more thing to point out. Spent a lot of time at the MGM Sportsbook, and one thing I can't understand is if you play in the ponies, you can just sit there and play quarters and rack up free drinks, you know, pretty frequently. But if you go to the MGM Sportsbook in the same place, you have to lay $100 for one drink ticket. So I'm not sure what that quite means, other than maybe sports bettors are just degenerate drinkers. I find that a little bit odd. Anyway, have a good rest of your holiday weekend, and I will talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Thank you for the call. I'm guessing it has something to do with hold percentage. They probably make more percentage-wise off of the Sigma Derby table than they do from sports bets. Not dollar-wise, but percentage-wise, perhaps. I don't know. Just a guess.
What are your thoughts on free breakfasts?
I hate when things are free. What am I supposed to say?
I don't know. In Vegas, I like the little lounges, like when we're at Hotel 32 having a little quick snack.
Yeah, that's nice.
But there are so many places I want to go for breakfast. Yeah.
It's nice. I mean, I'm not going to stay at Embassy Suites. I'm not going to stay there because it's not in the general area I like to stay, but like the motels and shit that have
Holiday Inn Express or
there
whatever.
There you go. I'm not going to stay at a Holiday Inn Express just because they have free breakfast. Mm-hmm. Some people will, but no, I don't know. I have no thoughts. It's not part of my Vegas experience.
Okay.
It's not part of that many people's Vegas experience. His is different. It's not like that kind of like the lobby breakfast. Mm-hmm. It just happens as part of whatever Hilton Honors deal he booked. They got that, but so if somebody wants to give me free breakfast, I'm not going to object, but I'm not going to go out of my way to stay at a, you know, at a hotel based on
eggs.
Exactly. All right, next up.
Good morning, podcasting's Tim and Michelle. It's Mike from Canada giving a call. I'm halfway through my Vegas trip here, and I meant to call earlier, but now I got a reason. It's the Memorial Day long weekend, and it's punk rock weekend, so I'm checking into the El Cortez for the second half of my stay, and every one of the six front doors by the check-in doors were smashed. Looked like somebody put a knee or a kick to every single one of them. So that was a nice welcome.
That's odd.
But what made it even nicer is I'm coming into a comp room, which I usually get here, or always get here, and I haven't stayed in the tower before, so I looked online and familiarized myself with what I might expect, which was one of the banker tower rooms. But as I come up to my room, I see French doors, always a good sign, and I come in, and it looks like I got the suite, the big suite. So this is a nice room. It's got good square footage and something interesting on the walls and around. Some artwork on the wall and a proper lounge area with the corner bath. Two bathtubs, actually, but the love tub. I'm not sure if I'm going to go in there or not, but it's nice that they gave it to me. Yeah, so this is a nice room. If anybody ever wants to check into the El Cortez, I do recommend these little mini suites or suite, I guess it's a full suite. It's got a leather-ish kind of couch and whatnot. But anyway, thanks for everything you guys do, and we'll keep you informed. Bye-bye.
All right, thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
That's always nice. A nice surprise to get the completely upgrade. Unrequested upgrade. Awesome way to improve your trip, right? All right, so let's hear from a friend of ours. We've known him for a long time. He's a repeated VIMF attendee.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the few people that we've had the pleasure of drinking with on two continents.
Mm-hmm.
We should figure out a way to make it three.
We should.
I don't know how that would work.
I don't know.
We have to meet up on neutral ground somewhere during our South African. Why South Africa? Our South American trip together.
They have casinos in South Africa.
I don't know. Okay. Our buddy Matthew.
Hi, Tim. And hi, Michelle. This is Matthew from the UK, ringing from sunny, glorious, wonderful Las Vegas, Nevada. It is Thursday, the 2nd of June, just coming to the end of an amazing trip. Juliet, my better half, and I have been out here for the last 2 weeks, a week in California and a week in Vegas. The purpose of the tour, the trip rather, well, was a tour, the Who Tour, the rescheduled tour from last year when my hero, one of my heroes, Roger Daltrey, was waylaid with viral meningitis. The entire tour was postponed 3 days before I was due to fly out. Anyway, we're back for the makeup shows. So saw some great shows in Anaheim and San Diego, and then Vegas. And in San Diego, spent some quality time with our good pal, Al from San Diego, a fellow Vegas nerd. We put the world to rights, discussed all of the issues that Vegas has, and I think we cured them. Unfortunately, we drank so much, I can't remember any of the cures that we came up with. But we had a great time. Really good to catch up with Al. And he lives in a fantastic, beautiful part of the world. Anyway, we then moved on to Vegas. And the first 3 nights we stayed at Aria. And then the last couple of nights here at the Wynn. Obviously, Wynn was a great place to come to. And Aria, despite being an MGM property, seems to do very well for me on the offers. So that was great to stay there. Dining, we had a fantastic meal at Sage. That was the real standout meal of the trip. If you like foie gras, I know it's a bit of a controversial, politically incorrect thing to be eating, but it is delicious. The foie gras was stunning. I had foie gras to start, and I had foie gras to finish. The foie gras candy bar, which kind of like a Snickers chocolate bar with foie gras in the middle.
Ooh.
And how many times can I say foie gras? Quite a lot, it turns out. That was absolutely stunning. An amazing drink we had there was a cotton candy drink, which is basically you're presented with a big glass full of cotton candy into which they pour Grey Goose cherry noir, lime juice, white cranberry juice, and simple syrup, and the cotton candy dissolves, and it just tastes like heaven. Absolutely delicious. The other standout meal was at the restaurant at the Eiffel Tower. For years, I've kind of definitely avoided the place because I assumed it would be a terrible tourist trap of a place. But actually, it's not. The food was fantastic. We were very lucky. We got a table. It was my birthday. Happy birthday to me. No need to sing, but if you want to sing now, feel free. We were very lucky. We got a perfect table for two, overlooking the strip, overlooking the fountains of Bellagio. And, yeah, the fountains went off constantly. which was very pleasant. The food itself was very, very good. You know, I did joke to Juliet that given the view, I'd be happy to eat pretty crap food, but it was actually very good food. Very nice ambiance, and a good time was had by all. Moving on to shows. Obviously, the real highlight for me was The Who at the Coliseum. I was a bit twitchy at first about this, because given the usual middle-of-the-road acts they have there, would the audience be sitting down the whole way through? Would they be standing up? Luckily, because it was The Who, everyone stood. And The Who were in great form. Roger Daltrey's voice was top-notch. Pete Townsend was, well, an absolute maniac on guitar. Even did one of his time-honoured knee slides in the Won't Get Forward Again, which I caught on video. It was a great show, a very comfortable venue, lots of room. I was pretty close, about 14th row, just a stunning, stunning show. Took a walk through the park by Monte Carlo and New York. Fairly impressed, I would say. I mean, I think it's kind of a knockoff of the Link, but more room, not so much there to look at or do, but beer house. I've got to say, it was very impressive. That was a really fun place to go to. An amazing selection of beers. So if you like beer, that is the place to go. If you don't like beer, obviously you wouldn't go to Beer House, would you? Why would you? But it was a great place. On Monday, we took the court tour of Casa de Shenandoah, Wayne Newton's place, just a couple of miles away from the Strip. And it was fantastic. We took the Diamond tour, having heard your enthusiasm for the place and Miss Noma's enthusiasm last year, we decided to go on the tour, and it was amazing. There were only four of us on the tour, so it was really up close and personal. We saw pretty much everything. So we saw the Arabian horses, the exotic animals, the amazing car collection, his aeroplane, his stage costumes, his childhood home that he had built when he moved to Vegas when he was a young boy, and then the main house where, until recently, he and his family lived. It was just charming. And there's a big focus on his USO work, which obviously is very impressive. And then following up on that, we got tickets to see Wayne Newton up close and personal at Bally's, which was last night. And I've got to say, I know he gets a lot of stick, I guess, for being a bit of a cheesy older act, but it was a wonderful show. He was an absolutely charming showman. You know, the voice clearly is not what it was probably 10 years ago, let alone 40 years ago, but he was charming on stage. It was a solid 90 minutes of him, a small band, four-piece band. He played guitar, he played the violin, he answered lots of questions. He sang more than I expected. He sang 8, maybe 10 songs in total during the 90-minute show, and took lots of questions, including one from me. And he's clearly very proud of his USO work and his close relationships with many presidents. So I would give that an absolute double thumbs up. I mean, and also, obviously, how many more chances will we get to see such a man in the flesh? Anyway, it was a great show. Gambling-wise, it's been a fairly good trip, I think we are. Yeah, definitely going out with money, so that's always a win in my book. Favorite slot machine for me was Ted. First played this in Atlantic City in March when I saw The Who on the East Coast. Ted slot machine, if you like the film, I think you would love the slot machine. It's really fun. Every now and again, you get an animatronic Ted appears and helps you get to bonus rounds. He'll throw a bottle of beer at the screen to help you along, and it's just a really fun game. Put in $100, and I think it lasted, an hour, just over an hour probably, and I walked away with money, so that was good. Video poker has been pretty kind to me at Aria. I did a fair bit of gambling. I came out even here at Wynn. I had nothing but quads yesterday. It was amazing. I put in 100 and just, I think I had something like 8 sets of quads in the space of 40 minutes. So that was a successful session. Anyway, this is our last morning here in glorious Vegas. Flying home this afternoon back to England and the cold. But the good news is I'm back in October for VIMF.
Yay.
Cannot wait. It'll be great to catch up with you guys and everyone else. And, it'll be great to catch up. Anyway, I thought after having listened in so many years to people's calls, I thought it would be my turn to call. Anyway, that's the end of my call. Be lucky, everyone, and look forward to seeing you all very soon. Cheers.
All right.
Thank you.
Glad you did call. Good report on a lot of different stuff. I'm really glad he had a good time at Casa de Shenandoah.
Me too.
Since part of the reason he went was because he heard our review. And it sounds like, yeah, Wayne Newton's show sounds like...
That would be cool to follow up a visit to that with an actual show by the guy.
Yeah, that's really cool. Sounds like a great trip, man. Yeah. I look forward to hanging out with him again in October. That will be a good time. If you're not...
Although I bet when we talked about... I bet I just contradicted myself by saying that, but... I don't know. I think we talked about how his voice really hasn't held up, but it's good to hear that he's got a lot of charisma and that overcomes.
Good, good show.
Yeah, that it was a good show.
Hooray. All right. Thanks again, Matthew.
Thank you, Matthew. Please say hello to Juliet as well.
Indeed. All right. Let's check in with Ben again. Ben again?
Hey, it's Ben McGovern. Again, I've talked about Tropicana this morning, but one thing I left out was that we also went over to Topgolf and... enjoyed our time over there. If you guys aren't familiar with the Topgolf kind of experience yet, unless you have a big group, it is kind of first come, first serve policy there. So you just kind of show up, get your place in line, and then you can kind of wander around the facility until your bay is ready. That's kind of part of their business model because they have a multitude of bars and entertainment for you to take. To kind of enjoy, spend your money on while you wait for your bay. We went about 11:30 or so, and there was no wait, so we could go straight in there and start golfing. But typically, once that place kind of gets busy, you can expect several hour waits to get a bay. You also, just so you're aware, you pay by the hour there with varying prices depending on when you go. The cheapest rates are kind of off your Friday, kind of before noon, with the most expensive rates being on the weekend, you know, after, I think like after 5 or 6 o'clock. And it runs from about $30 to $60 on up, depending on when you go. They do have several pools there as well, as well as its own sports book that you can take advantage of if you're waiting. So there is stuff to do. They pour a decent cocktail and have lots of beers on tap and at their own food and kitchen, so you won't starve to death or be able to partake in alcoholic beverages. As far as you know, the facility itself, it's fantastic. It's very modern, very fun game to play, and it's nice to have another kind of non-gambling related activity that you can go play in Las Vegas. It's right off the MGM. But it is, you know, a fairly good, you know, 20-25 minute hike from kind of the front of the MGM. So don't give yourself plenty of time to get over there if you're walking. I highly recommend it. It's a good time. Kids can use it. Adults can use it. They do have the top floor is adults only, 21 plus or over. So just be aware of that. But it's a good time, and we enjoyed it. So that's it. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Glad to hear a good review of that place as well. He did email me and let me know, because we were wondering when we discussed this a couple weeks ago about the rates and whether or not it was per bay or it was per person. He said it is per person. And one other thing, too, he mentioned the walk. They do have free shuttles from the main lobby at MGM all day and all evening when it is open. So
cool.
It might be the better way to go, especially in the summer here.
Oh, yeah.
I do want to check that out, which is very odd, as I've said, because mm-hmm. I'm not a big golfer, but I'm not a golfer at all, in fact. But it strikes me as something that would be fun anyway. It sounds like the way to go is early.
Yeah.
So you don't have to wait for a couple hours, but it might be fun to go play a little bit and then hang out afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, might have to have that on the short list for the next trip.
Possibly.
Okay. Final call. Let's check in again with Ryan.
Yo, 500. What up? Hey, it's Ryan, Colorado again. I'm like trying to find a damn place where I can call work to call in sick for tomorrow. I had to go over to the damn T-Mobile arena because it's the only place that doesn't have freaking music playing. But accomplished. Federal government, you guys paying me to call and say, we're walking by the park here. Whatever. Where'd I go tonight? DB Brasserie at Venetian, or between Venetian and Palazzo. the fucking place is, I'm sorry, that place is, I don't know, they don't curse. Oh, hey, baby. It's amazing. Everything I had there was great. Yeah. Anytime you can go anywhere where there's a Daniel Balut restaurant, hence the DB, I would highly recommend it. It's, yeah, good stuff. So, yeah, one more night here, and then I'm done. And it's good. I'll be back out here in 2 weeks at Venetian because I started finally giving out free rooms again. I'm going to gamble there in like a year and a half. I won't mention why I wasn't out here for the last year. I had a little legal problem. I couldn't really leave the state, but it won't go into that. But Uber's good. Don't drive your car when you got some alcohol in your system because that shit will fuck up your life. And international travel will be crazy, especially if you try to get to Canada. But anyways, thanks, guys.
These are our listeners. All right.
The more you know.
thanks for the tip, mm-hmm. I guess. All right. Thank you to all of our callers this week. We do appreciate the reviews and information. Always good to hear a multitude of opinions on stuff going on in Vegas. Before we go, our Amazon.com listener purchase of the week this week. You may be familiar with the always annoying baby on board signs that people put in their cars, which is like, what reaction am I supposed to have on that when I see that?
I don't know.
Am I supposed to drive better because they have a baby in their car? Or are they just looking for attention for their ugly kid?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. But there's a variation on the baby on board sign that someone, one of our listeners, purchased using our link.
I approve of this.
It's the baby up in this bitch reflective sticker 2-pack. I like this. That would get my attention. That would make me laugh.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. I still wouldn't drive any better just because you have a kid in your car. But I would be amused by that. So good on you to whoever bought that. I will post a link in the show notes. As always, we are part of the Amazon affiliate program, meaning that if you use our link, we get a little something-something from Amazon for any purchases that you make after clicking through to Amazon from our link at 500bymidnight.com. And we do appreciate your support of the show via that. Finally, PayPal donations this week. Bunch of karma donations and whatnot, starting with Greg and Lori. Thank you, Greg and Lori. They have an upcoming trip on June 8th. Need a little karma action. And they said that we bring karma to their lives and good luck, and that good luck on their trip will just be the icing on the cake.
Aww.
Aww.
Thank you.
Guys. We appreciate that.
Good luck.
Guillermo, longtime listener and supporter of the show with karma donation for a 9-year anniversary trip with his wife to see Celine Dion.
Awesome.
Well, you're a better husband than I am because my wife wants to see Celine Dion and I won't go. So props to you, Guillermo. All right.
Thank you.
Another longtime listener, somebody we've run into in Vegas a bunch of times, Scott, with a karma donation for a 21st anniversary trip to Aria.
Cool. Congratulations. June 8th.
Yeah, that's awesome. John and Melanie, we know them too.
Mm-hmm.
40th, not anniversary. That would be a long time because they're just young kids. Mm-hmm. 40th birthday. I think it's John's 40th birthday.
Happy birthday.
Best spot to celebrate is Vegas.
Agreed.
Hope you have a great time.
Yes.
And finally, John and Uta with a karma donation for a long weekend trip to celebrate Father's Day. And they said we're supposed to use the donation to do something irresponsible during our next trip to Las Vegas.
Okay, we can do that.
I'm pretty sure we can come up with something irresponsible. And we will see you in October. They're planning on being at VIMF as well.
Yay.
All right. Thank you so much to all of you for
everyone.
The support. You guys are all kinds of awesome, and we do appreciate it. One more thing before we go. As I like to mention each show, I have a book that I wrote called The Outsider's Guide to Las Vegas. If you are entertained, amused, informed by this podcast, you will probably enjoy the book as well. You can get all the details and links at LasVegasOutsidersBook.com. All right. 500bymidnight.com is our website. 500@gmail.com is the place to send Dear Tim and Michelle questions. You can find us both on Twitter. I am 500. She is Anita Martini. And, of course, our voicemail line available to you anytime, day or night, is 702-866-9494. We would love to hear from you. As always, thank you for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it. And we will talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.